93.3 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. It's still unclear whether Americans were among the group of 11 hostages released today by Hamas, but Israel has agreed to extend their truce. White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
We're grateful that we've got an extra 2 days to work with. That'll result in the release of 20 more individuals.
Americans are still among the hostages. A 48-year-old man could still face hate crimes charges after pleading not guilty to shooting three Palestinian students in Vermont. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
There is understandable fear in communities across the country.
Former President Jimmy Carter will attend a memorial service tomorrow for his late wife and former First Lady Rosalynn Carter in Georgia. CBS's Mark Strassman.
He's frail. He's been in hospice care for the last 10 months, and he's 99 years old. So all of it is going to be decided by the family and presumably Mr. Carter as each of these events comes up.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
It's a wonderful Waukesha tradition and kicks off the holiday season. The 60th annual Christmas parade is Sunday, December 3rd.
Hi, I'm Don Brown. Join me live for all the fun. I'll be catching up.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A conservative pressure group is turning up the heat on Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. The same group that targeted Voss with a $100,000 ad campaign says it's launching $250,000 worth of new ads. The Wisconsin Elections Committee wants lawmakers to impeach Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf. The push to close the Green Bay State Prison is intensifying. Alloway Village President Jim Rafter says the aging prison is not just a danger to people inside the lockup, it's dangerous to people who live around it.
GBCI, as I've been told, is a powder keg waiting to blow. You've had people on lockdown since June, and any modifications that have been just announced don't stop that.
Rafter on Upfront on WISN-TV. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The Waukesha County budget passed prioritizes funding for law enforcement, with the largest portion of the new county tax levy and shared revenue allocated for that purpose. Specific funding includes $1.5 million for operations in the Sheriff's Department. Almost $53 million will be dedicated to maintaining transportation infrastructure and facilities, while nearly $1 million will be invested in the county's largest department, Health and Human Services. Over the weekend in Wauwatosa, a woman exiting a parking lot at Mayfair collided with a fire truck. The incident took place at around 12:30 in the afternoon when the fire truck was going north on Mayfair and the car was attempting to cross the street. It hit the front end of the fire truck. Thankfully, the firefighters emerged unharmed, while the driver and passenger of the car received medical attention for minor injuries. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Badgers wrap up the regular season. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers finished up the regular season with a record of 7-5 after beating Minnesota 28-14 Saturday night. Safety Hunter Waller was asked about what his team showed after wins over Nebraska and Minnesota.
I think the last two games show for themselves. To come out and respond the way we did these last 2 weeks, we showed our fight.
The Badgers now wait for word on a bowl bid. NBA Damian Lillard played in Portland for the Trailblazers for 11 years before being traded to the Bucks. Milwaukee beat Portland 108-102 after the game. Lillard asked on Valley Sports what it was like facing his former team.
You know, once I walked in, I, you know, saw a lot of familiar faces, and I thought about going in the visitors' locker room for a second, but I was like, man, this is a little bit different. And then when we got on the court, I saw everybody, and that was like, it was a weird feeling. But once we started playing, I kind of got over it quick. And just like before, I didn't think it would be a big thing or a crazy thing, and it wasn't. And I'm just happy we was able to get the win.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a chance of flurries. Highs around 23. Winds out of the west, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Chance of flurries tonight, 11. Tomorrow, high of 23. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 21 degrees.
As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Guys doing chores. How would that do on TikTok?
Sounds like you should be wearing like short shorts or something.
We're not going to exploit you in that way. I think it's more about your Q-tip action and
phrasing, Jane. The way you're saying it just sounds like one big double entendre.
Delicately in the crevices.
As goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. A lot of it made over this long weekend. Hope everybody had a great, wonderful Thanksgiving. The top news is the hostage deal between Israel and Hamas. And here's what happened over the weekend, and here is what they've agreed to right now. Over the weekend, there are about 24 hostages let go on Friday. They're hostages here, by the way, who are not Israeli and not American. They're hostages from Thailand, or there are people working as guest workers in Israel from countries like Thailand. Or there was a girl who's an Irish Israeli citizen, lots of different nationalities. 24 hostages were released on Friday. And there are more over the second day. There are more hostages released. But what Hamas did, Hamas are terrorists, is a polite word for them. One of the things that really frosts me is that CNN and MSNBC, they have some kind of protocol where they refer to them as fighters. They're not fighters. They're no more fighters than Nazis were fighters. Not fighters, torturers, terrorists. So the second day, they said, well, we're going to stop doing it unless you start delivering aid to northern Gaza, which is the area that Israel has been bombing, where people have been warned to leave. Hamas has a lot of its operations, but not all of its operations. And they kept complaining about other things. Now, Israel is willing to give a brief pause for the relief of hostages, and that's largely based on pressure from President Biden, Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister. But enough's enough. So they finally resolved that. Basically, Hamas backed down, and they released more hostages. On the third day, they released more. They also released the four-year-old girl, Abigail Eden. I don't know if you saw her. Beautiful little girl. Such a sad, tragic little girl. Her parents were murdered by Hamas. And I think she was under her father's body and came crawling out. These people are animals, Hamas is. In any event, they just agreed to extend this pause for two more days. And basically, here's what I think is going to happen. Hamas took 240 hostages, roughly. They've killed several. They've killed some of the more attractive young women. But the ones that have left, let's say they have 230 left or had before they started releasing them. Israel said, if you release at least 10 a day, we won't resume bombing. If you don't, we will. So Hamas, what does that mean? That means another 23 days, 10 a day. They kidnapped a nine-month-old infant. A nine-month-old infant who's now 10 months old. Because the poor little one has been in there a month. All of these hostages should be released right now. There's absolutely no excuse for what they're doing. It's sadism. It's torture. But there's two things that are going on, and I want to give these countervailing views on it. One is that it will make it harder for Israel to resume fighting them if they drag this out for 23 more days. But the other one is Hamas has also agreed not to launch missiles into Israel. And if and when they start doing that, that's the end of this pause. They understand that. One other thing that's important to note is that, remember, there was a lot of fuel that was delivered so that it could be used for generators and used at the hospitals. Hamas simply took it and has withheld most, if not all of it, from hospitals. One of the problems of so-called resupplying them, bringing in aid, that kind of thing, most of it goes to Hamas. It goes down the tunnels to simply replenish their forces. Some of them get some of it gets to the Gaza people. That's fine, but they are not there for Gaza. Remember, Hamas is part of Islamic Jihad. They have said that. That is a loose federation, and I say loose because some of the component parts hate each other. Of ISIS, Al Qaeda, Al Shabaab, the Janjaweed. Even Hezbollah and Iran, although they're Shiites, they're off on one side, and Hamas. Their objective is not Jewish people exclusively or the state of Israel. Their objective is the restoration of a caliphate in the region, and they hope worldwide. And their objective ultimately are people they consider apostates and Western civilization, Europe, the United States. We've already seen it in the United States. We've seen it in the United States largely from Saudi Arabians, 9/11, the Boston Marathon, although they were Chechenians, San Bernardino, Orlando, Fort Hood, Chattanooga, Chelsea, Ohio State, the Boston Bike Path Massacre. This is a direct attack on Western civilization. It's a direct attack on Europe. It's a direct attack on the United States. And no matter how welcoming we are, how much we ask people to respect us as we let them in, this is a mindset that is simply intent on carrying the fight to whatever country they get into. Israel, in many respects, not most respects, but in some, many, to us is like Ukraine in the sense that Israel is a democracy. It shares our values. It's part of Western civilization. Ukraine is a democracy. It shares our values. It's part of Western civilization. Ukraine is a European country. Israel is an extension of Western civilization of the United States and Europe. When Israel is attacked, we are attacked. This is not isolated to Israel. Joe Biden has been magnificent. Joe Biden has stood tall. And he's a very compassionate guy. He has worked with the Israelis to make sure that civilian casualties are minimized, that aid gets through, that there's a pause so that hostages can be released. But Israel said that if they released all the hostages right now, there would not be a resumption of the bombing that endangered civilians. They would continue to wipe out Hamas the way we wiped out ISIS. We went into Fallujah. We went into the rest of Iraq to wipe out ISIS. ISIS were the remnants of the Sunnis who ruled Iraq under Saddam Hussein, even though it was largely a Shiite country, When they were displaced from power, they took it out. They murdered hundreds of thousands of Christians or drove them out of the Middle East. That was their objective. When we went in against ISIS, we had no choice. This wasn't a case of negotiating with them. This is a case of eliminating them. The same is true of Hamas. You cannot have the circumstance where Hamas continues to exist, continues in effect to rule over the Palestinians in Gaza, and increasingly they want to do it in the West Bank as well. The people in the West Bank, the leadership in the West Bank, doesn't like Hamas. We need Palestinian leadership that we can negotiate with. And over time, we have had that. But not Hamas. That's entirely different. One of the problems and one of the mantras that you'll hear and that I believe strongly in is a two-state solution. But in a two-state solution, you have to have people on both sides who are willing to have two states and are willing to make peace with one another, recognize one another. And that has not been possible up till now, not because of Israel. Israel has offered it three times. But because the negotiators for the Palestinians, even if they want it, fear assassination, like Anwar Sadat was assassinated. The governor of the Punjab was assassinated. I alluded last show, which would have been on last week on Wednesday, that the dean of the Yale Management School had set up a conference of Muslims and Jewish leaders in the United States to work out. It's like a mini Marshall Plan, but it has a lot of private investment of $50 billion that would, in two states, and there would be a superhighway between Gaza and the West Bank. If you look at a map, you can see what I mean. That alone would cost $5 billion. And there'd be a Palestinian state. It'd be peaceful. Israel's security would be guaranteed. Israel's security would be established. And so initially, that would be paramount. But what it would do overnight is reduce Palestinian unemployment from the 30%, 40% down to the single digits. It would reduce Palestinian poverty about 50%, much lower, and it would work. And that was well received. The United Arab Emirates was there. That was well received by Arab leaders, Muslim leaders, and Jewish leaders. It can be done. These are all fine people. But it cannot be done if you have the equivalent of ISIS, which is what Hamas is, torturing people, kidnapping people, and sadistically parceling them out 10 a day simply to get more aid trucks that they can squirrel away in their tunnels. You can't have it. You can't have it. So I was very, very glad to see that initiative at the Yale Management School. That bears, Google it. You'll be impressed with it. The Abraham Accords were a terrific breakthrough. And they're still possible and still viable. So I'm very, very hopeful for the future. But at the same time, we simply absolutely cannot have the continued existence of Hamas. Okay, coming up, the gag order in the New York City case against Trump. You will not believe some of the empirical data of how much good that could do.
Go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking with Brett Uhlberg, owner of Robert Half Diamonds. Brett, I hear you pay cash for gold.
Not only gold, but silver, diamonds in any form like jewelry, teeth, coins, flatware.
Why should I sell you my gold?
Why not? Our store is the only store that recommends you shop around before you sell. This way you know you're getting the most money. But if Robert Half Diamonds can't beat a competitor's offer on your scrap gold, we'll give you $20 just for letting us try.
Hey, what if I'm shy?
You? Well, at Robert Half Diamonds, we sit with you at a table. We go through your items and make you an offer. You're not pressured, and we offer more on jewelry that we can resell.
Can I trade my gold for a new piece of jewelry?
Of course you can, and not only that, we can custom make a piece of jewelry using your gold and gems.
Hey, there you have it, folks. Sell your gold to my friends at Robert Half Diamonds. Visit them on 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Robert Half Diamonds, where they want your business.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. You know, we've been talking about gag orders of Tanya Chutkan, Washington, D.C., gag orders of Judge Engoron in New York. But there was a filing that just occurred that put that in really, really tragic perspective. In fact, really sobering perspective. I want to share that with you. Right now, as you know, Judge Engoron in New York had put in a gag order preventing Trump from threatening or harassing a wide range of people, including his clerk, including the prosecutor, and so forth. Well, here's the deal. There was a filing by a guy whom I never knew existed, and it's very sad in my view that he does exist, but he's essential. His name is Charles Holland in New York. He is the spokesman for the New York Public Safety Department's Judicial Threats Unit. Now, can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? They have to spend taxpayer money in their public safety department on a judicial threat unit. That's how pervasive it is. And Trump's not the only one. This has happened from the mafia. This has happened from terrorists. This has happened from a lot of people. But in this case, it's Trump. And here's what he did, and this is very effective. Judge Holland put in this affidavit. And he said, you know, look, sometimes people go, a gag order, well, who pays attention to a gag order? He says, we've looked at the data empirically. When a gag order is in place, and the bad guy, and he didn't mention Trump, but, you know, the perpetrator, is barred from making these threats, the number of threats go down and the number of physical attempts at attack go down. Gag orders work. And then he said in his affidavit, here are some of the ones that are coming in because of what Trump has said about Judge Engoron and his clerk. The gag order has been suspended, stayed by the Court of Appeals while they argue about it. Well, they stare at their belly buttons, wondering, you know, why are we doing this? Here's why we're doing it. Here are some of the threats that came in at Judge Engoron and his clerk when the gag order was stayed or not in effect. First one, quote, you should be not assassinated, but executed. But you should be executed, but on trial, executed for your crimes. This is what comes into a judge and his staff in New York. Here's another one after Trump's threats. Quote, we are going to get you and every one of your dirty, backstabbing, lying, cheating Americans. Oh, that's great, Americans. Where the heck did this come from? Has another one. Trust me when I say this. I will come for you. I don't care. Ain't nobody gonna stop me either. Here's another one. Know that the blood runs red. Helen goes on, when the gag order was in effect, there was a decrease in the number of threats, harassments, and disparaging messages that the judge and his staff received. But when Trump violates his gag order, or it was stayed, they increase. And here's an example of some of the ones that are made. Every day, every day, Judge Engoron and his staff get hundreds of threatening phone calls, voicemails, messages, and emails that require assessment by the Department of Public Safety, traditional security protections. Reinstate the gag order. Better still, put Trump in a holding cell. If this were done by the mafia or terrorists, he would have been in a cell a long time ago. Go to the lines. Andrew of Detroit, Michigan, my friend. Thanks for calling, Andrew. What's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt. How are you doing? Hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
Good, yeah. Hey,
Matt,
yeah,
how are you doing? Doing some... Good, good. And I had a good one, too. I was doing some research, and I'm going to try to give you some information that I found, and I don't want to argue about it, though, Matt. In my short 63 years, I have discovered that arguments don't solve anything. Everybody has an opinion. But what I was reading is, as of October 8th, 2023, the Israelis were holding 5,200 Palestinians. Of those 5,200, 33 were women and 170 were children. Of that 5,200, 1,264 were administrative detainees. That means they have not been charged. When the charges come, their lawyers are not allowed to see the judge. They're not allowed to see the judge. Their parents are not allowed to see. Nobody gets to see the charges. It is Israel's Gitmo. Okay. 700, again, as of October, no, 700 a year under 18 are being held, roughly. And the charge usually is throwing stones. And the sentence for throwing stones is 20 years max.
Yeah, that is not imposed. You know that's not imposed. Andrew, that the latter thing that you said about 20 years is not the case, just so we're quite clear. Yeah, let me talk about it. First of all, when you're talking about our Gitmo, we've coddled people who destroyed the towers in New York and attacked the USS Cole. And we're letting them bring motions and get out. They should have been executed, frankly. What you're describing is not even remotely the same as what happened on October 7th. The people that are being released by Israel right now, when you say children, you're talking about 17-year-olds, 16-year-olds. You're not talking about little children. And many of the people they're held are murderers. They're being released. They've released 1,000 of them for one soldier. And the 20 years is pure BS. Now, let me say you something else. On October 7, what Hamas did was what the Nazis would do. They went in and they tortured people in front of their families. And I'm not going to get into the details. And they sliced them up bit by bit. So they were finding small pieces of body parts all over the place. Hamas is evil. It must be destroyed like ISIS or like the Janjaweed. Or like Al-Qaeda, period, end of story. We stand with Israel. I stand with Biden. I'm riding with Biden. The Palestinian people themselves are very good people, and that's why this Yale Management School proposal is a very, very good one. An economic incentive for a two-state solution. But Israel has to go in and destroy Hamas. The tortures of October 7 have nothing to do with stone throwing. Coming up. Lots of news, lots of weather, and Letitia James has a smoking gun against Donald Trump.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. COVID-19 rates in Milwaukee County appear to be spiking after the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. About 99 people in Milwaukee County are in the hospital with COVID-19. That's 50% more than a week ago. The county's chief health policy advisor is urging people to get the latest booster shot. It's designed to guard against the specific strains going around this year. Wisconsin commuters sound happy about the decision to add a second daily Amtrak round trip from Chicago through Milwaukee to St. Paul. Passenger Brady Shulton speaking with ABC News.
It'd be nice to have an earlier route that starts off, have that option to leave in the morning. It's just easier.
The second route is expected to launch sometime next year. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The exit to Michigan Avenue for drivers on 43 North will be shut down for 2 weeks. DOT crews are working on repairs to the barrier wall. The 43 South ramp to 794 East, passing beneath Michigan Avenue, will experience off-peak closures during late-night hours due to the ongoing construction. The owners of the condemned condo coming down in Waukesha have been unsuccessful in their insurance dispute. A federal judge recently rejected their lawsuit against Travelers Insurance. The judge ruled in favor of Travelers, stating that the condo's insurance does not extend to losses resulting from demolition, leaving owners responsible for mortgages on uninhabitable homes. Despite the legal setback, Waukesha is proceeding with the demo of the condemned condo. That's expected to conclude early next year. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Badgers wrap up the regular season. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers finished up the regular season with a record of 7-5 after beating Minnesota 28-14 Saturday night. Safety Hunter Waller was asked about what his team showed after wins over Nebraska and Minnesota.
I think the last two games show for themselves. To come out and respond the way we did these last 2 weeks, we showed our fight.
The Badgers now wait for word on a bowl bid. NBA Damian Lillard played in Portland for the Trailblazers for 11 years before being traded to the Bucks. Milwaukee beat Portland 108-102. After the game, Lillard asked on Valley Sports what it was like facing his former team.
You know, once I walked in, I, you know, saw a lot of familiar faces, and I thought about going in the visitor's locker room for a second, but I was like, man, this is a little bit different. And then when we got on the court, I saw everybody, and that was like, it was a weird feeling. But once we started playing, I kind of got over it quick. And just like before, I didn't think it would be a big thing or a crazy thing, and it wasn't. And I'm just happy we was able to get the win.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a chance of flurries. Highs around 23. Winds out of the west 10 to 15 miles an hour. Chance of flurries tonight 11. Tomorrow high of 23. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 21 degrees.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK. UK.
UK. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Letitia James has a smoking gun. This is a good piece of evidence. You know, tried a lot of cases over my many years practicing law, and frequently you sort of gut it out. You gut it out. You're moving pawns in a chess game, and ultimately you have a strategy. But very occasionally you get a document that is a smoking gun. That's irrefutable. And this should go a long way to buttressing whatever Judge Engoron's decision is, which we're incidentally expecting will probably come out somewhere in December. But here's what it is. With Trump's financial statements, you'll recall that he, his son Don Jr., everybody, said, we hired accountants. I mean, you know, we didn't look at their stuff, even though they have an obligation under their status as corporate trustees, fiduciary status, to review them. They said, well, blame the accountants, you know, Alan Weisselberg, you know, he went to Rikers Island, went to prison for a period of time. It's accountants, just the accountants. Well, there was testimony from Jeffrey McConney, MC, capital C-O-N-N-E-Y. He's the former Trump corporate controller. Now, Alan Weisselberg was the chief financial officer. That's the big kahuna. But the corporate controller is the guy that frequently does the work, and his staff does the work. In other words, Weisselberg is the chief financial officer, supposed to make sure that it's done right, probably review it a little bit. But on Tuesday, McConney testified that Trump personally, Donald Trump personally, reviewed the financial statements before they were sent to banks or to any regulatory authority or anywhere else. Now, and before, frankly, they were shown in discovery. He reviewed them before they were finalized. Directly contrary to what he said. He said he never set eyes on him. That's just a flat out, I mean, it's a harsh word, a lie. Why was he able to say that? Letitia James's lawyers put into evidence his net worth statement for 2014. And just so you understand, some banks will require you to have a certain net worth before they'll even lend you the money you want. Secondly, the higher your net worth, the lower the interest costs they'll charge you, because the risk of your not paying goes down the more you're worth. So in 2014, and by the way, in all these financial statements, Trump had falsely said his net worth was billions with a B, dollars, more than it was. He wouldn't have gotten these loans. He wouldn't have gotten these interest rates. Then he went bankrupt 6 times in the past. He was a credit risk, and they knew it. But in blue ink, on the first page of the net worth statement for 2014, there's a note in blue ink on the first page. And it says, DJT, Donald John Trump, to get final review. These net worth statements overall, there's a notation that they were off by $3.5 billion. That's a number that, if it had been corrected, would have resulted in Trump getting very few of these loans, if any, and whatever he did get would have been at a very high interest rate. The second thing to know, and why it really is a smoking gun, is because Donald Trump didn't produce this document in discovery, and he had an obligation to. He deep-sixed it. That is spoliation of evidence. It's a term of art. It can be a criminal offense. It certainly will put a knife in you in the litigation. So how did Letitia James get a copy of this document? She got it because Trump's accounting firm turned it over. Trump withheld it. claims he didn't know it existed, doesn't know where it was. When you're in litigation with a guy like Trump, he doesn't follow any rules whatsoever. He'll destroy documents, lie about them. But you may recall when the accounting firm was subpoenaed, Trump tried to resist that as much as he could. The judges finally said, no way, turn over the documents. And suddenly the identical document request that had been made both to Trump and his accounting firm, where Trump came back and said, we searched diligently and nothing there. The accounting firm has a whole bunch of stuff. And one of them is 2014 financial statement, blue note on the first page, DJT to get final review. Now, that is not only contradictory to what he said before, that's perjury. He was under oath when he said it before. Perjury is very rarely prosecuted in civil cases. It's prosecuted more frequently in criminal cases, because to prosecute it, you have to start another action. And he's going to say he didn't remember and he still doesn't know where the document is. And it's frankly not worth the hassle when he's already facing 91 felony indictments, felony counts in indictments in several courts. But the other thing it is spoliation of evidence. And remember something, this judge is sitting just as a judge, not a jury. He's not, there's no jury. So the judge is the jury. That's a very, very rare thing. Most people don't waive their right to jury. I think that Trump was crazy to do it in this case. He may not have had good legal advice, because judges, whether they think you think they're liberal or conservative, they can, they're not stupid and they don't like being hosed around, and they can see what's going on real quick. Juries frequently, if you get a guy like Trump up there and he goes, oh, I use the accountants, he has a much better chance of smoking that by a jury than he is by an experienced judge. I'm not on his side. I'm delighted that he didn't do it that way. This is a guy who lied about whether he saw the financial statements, because there's a note on the front page saying he did. And then he deep sixes the document, fights like heck to make sure that his accounting firm doesn't have to turn anything over. Then when he loses, suddenly this is what happens. How bad is that? This is a smoking gun. And I'm going to go to the lines, but the final thing I'll say before we go to the lines is this. Judge Endicott, with no jury, has already said that Trump committed fraud. Now he has to decide the damages. He's going to be very unsympathetic when he and his clerk have gotten hundreds of emails and death threats almost every day. And Trump deep sixes a document and lies about it. I can tell you that. Go to the lines. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Bill?
Do you really think that any court in the world would put up with what the courts in America are going through? Because, number one, you said it yourself a minute ago about Trump perjuring himself. The guy's crazy. Rex Tillerson, the head of Exxon, I think, said the man's a moron. We all know this guy is not stable. We know, I mean, that's just, that's across the boards. We know he's not stable. But what I don't comprehend, how much do we have to put up with till they just throw him in jail on the gag order? They've got so much on him. Now, you were sharing that they don't do that because the first time a president has been on trial like this. I get that. So you're in maybe what you call uncharted territories, but here's what we're not in uncharted territories with. This isn't the first time we've had a cycle going to jail. He is not the first. He won't be the last. But when you're not dealing with a stable guy, I mean, he hasn't been stable since he's been in office. We know that. But yet we deal with this cycle like, well, we got to give him another chance. Well, let's just make sure. Well, he's the president. No, he's been a president. It didn't work out. He won't even turn it back to Biden. The man's not certified. He's certifiably insane. Don't you think it's about time that they just say that's enough? What do you think?
Yeah, I do. That's a good call, Bill. And I absolutely do. And here, I'm going to review what's going on and what my real fear is. My real fear is that somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to get killed. You see, Donald Trump has taxpayer security. We pay for it for the rest of his life, for him and his wife. And the law has changed, but his kid's up to a certain age. And so certainly his son, Barron, and so on. So he can threaten anybody he wants if he gets away with it. And he is secure. Nobody can get to him. That's wrong. This should not be permitted. Now, I'm not saying get rid of his security, although he said we should have gotten rid of Hillary Clinton's security when she ran for president. He's a very dangerous guy. But when he says some of the things I said just a little bit ago before the smoking gun discussion about you should be executed, I'm coming for you, blood runs red, you can count on it, nobody's going to stop me. Somebody is going to get through to a member of the court staff, juror, a witness, or a judge, and they're going to physically hurt them or kill them. You cannot have someone like Trump. People don't want to believe it. They go, well, wait a minute, this guy used to be president, and he's running now, he's ahead in the Republican primary. Surely we have to treat him with respect. Well, no. You treat, if he's a candidate for president, that is treated with respect as part of our democracy, but not him personally. Now, there are plenty of people out there who lie about documents, plenty of them. Plenty of them destroy documents. Plenty of them say they never saw it when they really did, and so forth, and try to bamboozle the jury. It's much more difficult to bamboozle the judge, believe me, but bamboozle the jury. And you don't necessarily lock them up for that. But when judges and staff are getting hundreds of emails and death threats, and Fannie Willis down in Atlanta, Georgia, has gotten racial threats and death threats using the N-word. She said, I've got more messages threatening me using the N-word than any other person in public office I've ever heard about. Jack Smith had to sell his house, and his family and his kids are in protective custody. Judge Tanya Chutkan, the minute he shut his mouth off when she initially suspended the gag order in D.C., she got a death threat and somebody came to kill her, and that person has been prosecuted. And that doing that with a federal judge, they're going to get double digits in jail. Everybody around this guy goes to jail. They go down. Everybody, lawyers, they plead, they have to be pardoned, everybody. He's a walking crime wave, except he so far is the Joker and he's gotten out of it. Well, you're not going to get out of it anymore. And what I think has got to happen, that Court of Appeals in New York, when they see what the Department of Security, the Judicial Threat Division, can you imagine that? They got to hire guys to staff a Judicial Threat Division and reassess the security of Judge Engoron and his clerk every day. He has to go to jail. Anybody else would go to jail. I would go to jail. You would go to jail. Anybody would go to jail. Put him in a holding cell. He'll complain. The downside that's very difficult to assess is, does that give him even more legitimacy with his base? Is the Republican primary so corrupted by hatred and so corrupted by misinformation that they are going to like it and think he's a martyr? And that is what the judges are wrestling with. And I do not know the answer to it, but I do know enough is enough. Somebody's going to get hurt if this guy is permitted to continue to do this. Coming up, a lawsuit against the DNR over the wolf plan. And you will not believe the difference in the number of wolves that various people want to see taken by hunters.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democrat Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Shaw, W-A-U-K-K.
Welcome back to Metlin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Go to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling, Gene. What's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. Thank you for the great show, as usual. You work so hard. I hope you've had a good holiday.
Thank you.
I'm really concerned, you know, about the special treatment that Trump gets. Because what this is, and it's an example of people in the future who want to come to power, the Trump wannabes, the Republican Party that remains in power, the Republican Party in the state of Wisconsin. These people think that they own the world. They think they're kings. They think they're not responsible to anybody. They can do whatever they want. And these people need to be held accountable to deter this from happening again in our futures. I mean, there's so many things on Trump. I'll tell you, Matt, I probably got probably at least 100 notebooks of keeping track of him and Scott Walker and the state of Wisconsin. I mean, if people would watch live the Congress right now that are run by Republicans, they would probably turn, if they had brown hair, it'd turn gray overnight. I mean, this is serious stuff going on. And I'll tell you something. When Trump now again is going to change Obamacare when he's campaigning, I mean, people got to see what the devil this guy is when he's campaigning. Now, Trump would never get away with this if it wasn't for people that are behind the scenes making the way for Trump, paying his bills, giving him lots of donations. Same with that Republican Party that still continue to protect him, try to go after our good president that tells the truth, trying to equate him to a Trump or worse. I mean, it's just mind-boggling, but we all got to be aware, and we all got to fight back. So thanks again, Matt. Great show. Keep up the great work. Bye.
Yeah, thank you very, very much, Jean. Excellent call, as always. Yeah, and I'll say a couple of things. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. He is acting as a proto-fascist. It's the same thing that was done in Italy and Germany in the 20s and 30s. And here you have these mini fascist wannabes. You know, they want to, what, impeach Janet Protasiewicz the minute she is sworn in, before she did anything, much less a crime or corrupt. They want to overturn an election. They do not believe in the peaceful transition of power. They want to impeach Megan Wolf, even though there is a court order preventing them from doing it. For doing what? She's done a great job. Everybody, all six of the people on the Wisconsin Election Commission said she's great. What they want is a Gableman in there. They want a Gableman in there. They don't want honesty in there. And what Trump is doing is not only wrong, but it's very, very dangerous, because when you have that many death threats coming in and that kind of lurid language, and you already had a woman say she's going to kill Tanya Chutkan, went there to do it, and is now facing a felony, she will get double-digit jail years. And then the minute he attacked the FBI, somebody in Cincinnati went there with a gun. These people do not have, the targets do not have the necessary means to protect themselves. Mitt Romney's paying, what, $5 million a year? $5 million a year? Trump is paying more than that because of you, the taxpayer. He's sitting back and threatening people, hoping they're hurt. Listen, on January 6th, he sat there chuckling. And then I think he would tape it and then replay it, and he wouldn't tell them to stop. He likes violence as long as he doesn't have to be part of it. He didn't like it enough to serve in Vietnam, I'll tell you that. He developed bone spurs. He's a snatch and grab artist, a drive-by artist. He goes in, kicks and shoots and runs away. Very, very dangerous stuff. He needs a gag order. There's a lawsuit over the DNR Wolf Plan just been filed. One of the things they allege is that the DNR took private comments from wolf hunters after the public comment time was closed. The wolf plan back a year or so ago is 350 wolves. Right now, there are 1,000 wolves in the state, roughly 1,000. One proposed plan is that it be set at 800 to 1,200. The other one said down to 350. The Farm Bureau weighed in. They want it 350. There's 64,000 farms in Wisconsin, believe it or not. 19 of them have had a problem with a wolf coming in to grab a, you know, a goat or a cow or whatever. Well, here's the deal. Some people say that a non-lethal wolf management plan is the best, is most effective. Some people say that hunting is the most effective. The lawsuit asks the DNR to stop, to enjoin the hunt at all until there is further analysis of a non-lethal plan, and that there's open discussion from everybody, not just one side. So the question is, I think hunting is a great thing. I think it's a staple of our culture. I do not think that we need to have unregulated wolf hunting. Remember that happened a year or two ago. And they shot pregnant wolves, and then they meet the quota in one day. Bill Oconomowoc, my friend, you're calling back then, this time on wolves, I think. I'd really like to hear your comments, Bill Oconomowoc.
Yes, I got quite a bit of experience in that wolf hunt. And here goes. Tom Tiffany was working with a group that supported Ted Nugent, all these other crackpots, and they shot female wolves, they shot the pups, they tried to slaughter them. And I contacted the guy who runs the DNR, the Citizens Review Board, and I know him personally. And I said, don't ever do that again or we'll shut you down. And he goes, what do you mean you'll shut us down? I said, I'll tell you exactly what we're going to do. Do it one more time. And we will collectively, and there's thousands of us, buy wolf kill permits and burn them. You guys will never have a hunt the rest of your life if you pull that stuff. You know what? They backed out. They didn't like that. Even the guy, and his name is Cass, said to me, and I quote, he said, yeah, you could shut us down. You could shut us down. So all that BS on this wolf hunt, these clowns, that participate. Now I hunt, but I believe, right. I'll tell you something, the personal experience of the wolves in Wisconsin. I used to train on the Nemecogon Barrens. I had wolves all over the place. Never had one.
Bill, I got to go to a break. Call back in after the break. I want to hear some more about your wolf experience. Coming up, a lot of weather, a lot of news, and also the effect of these anti-Israel parades shutting down parts of some cities. All coming up.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It's a wonderful Waukesha tradition and kicks off the holiday season. The 60th annual Christmas parade is Sunday, December 3rd.
Hi, I'm Don Brown. Join me live for all the fun. I'll be catching up with business owners, city leaders, and you before the parade even starts.
Your Waukesha Christmas pre-parade coverage is live Sunday, December 3rd from 3 to 4 p.m. and only on the Shaw 101.1 FM, WAUK 540 AM, and the Civic Media app.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News.